Greeting my Kardec radio friends from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here to take you on another audio journey through the spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today, we will return to the plurality of existences by covering the remaining questions 218 to 221. Then, we'll turn to questions 223 to 233 involving errant or discarnate spirits.
Enjoy.
Question 218. Does an incarnate spirit preserve any trace of the perceptions it had and the knowledge it acquired in its previous lives?
A vague memory remains, giving the incarnate spirit what you call innate ideas.
Subquestion 218A. Then the theory of innate ideas is not just a myth?
No, because the knowledge acquired in each existence is not lost. When a spirit is free of matter, it always recalls such knowledge. While incarnate, it may forget it partially and temporarily, but the intuition that remains helps it advance. Without it, it would always have to start over. Instead, each new existence, the spirit starts from the point at which it had finished the preceding one.
Subquestion 218B. Then isn't there a very close connection between two successive existences?
Not always as close as you might think, because the conditions of the two lives are often very different. Also, the spirit may have progressed in the interval between them.
See number 216. Question 219. What is the origin of the extraordinary abilities of those individuals who, without any previous learning, seem to have an intuition about certain areas of knowledge, such as languages, mathematics, etc.?
A memory of the past and the soul's previous progress, of which it now has no awareness. Where else could such abilities have come from? Bodies change, but the spirit does not. It merely changes its garment.
Question 220. In changing bodies, can spirits lose certain intellectual faculties? For example, could they cease to have a taste for the arts?
Yes, if they dishonored that faculty or made a bad use of it. Moreover, a faculty may remain dormant throughout an entire existence because the spirit wishes to exercise an unrelated one. In that case, it remains latent but reappears later.
Question 221. Are the instinctive sentiment of the existence of God and the presentiment of the future life due to a retrospective memory that humans have even in the primitive state?
They are a memory they have retained of what they knew as spirits before incarnating. But pride often stifles this sentiment.
Subquestion 221A. Is it the same memory to which are owed certain beliefs related to the spiritist doctrine and which are found in all cultures?
This doctrine is as old as the world. That is why we find it everywhere, proof that it is true. Since it preserves an intuition of its spirit state, the incarnate spirit possesses an instinctive awareness of the invisible world. This awareness, however, is frequently distorted by prejudices, as well as by superstitions arising from ignorance.
Question 223. Does the soul reincarnate immediately after separation from the body?
Sometimes it reincarnates immediately, but most often after an interval of longer or shorter duration. On more highly evolved worlds, reincarnation is almost always immediate, since the corporeal matter of those worlds is less coarse an incarnate spirit enjoys nearly all of its spirit faculties. Its normal state is the same as that of your lucid somnambulists.
Question 224. What becomes of the soul during the intervals between incarnations?
It becomes an errant spirit, aspiring to and awaiting a new destiny.
Footnote to the word errant, discarnate. Subquestion 224A. How long may such intervals last?
From a few hours to thousands of centuries. Strictly speaking, there is no outside limit assigned to the errant state. It may last for a very long time, but never forever. Sooner or later, a spirit always has the opportunity to begin another existence, which serves for the purification of its previous ones.
Subquestion 224B. Does the length of the interval depend on the spirit's own will, or can it be imposed as an expiation?
It is a consequence of its free will. Spirits know full well what they are doing in prolonging it, but for some, extending it is also a punishment inflicted by God. Others ask for it to be extended in order to pursue studies that cannot be done productively except in the spirit state.
Question 225. Is the errant state in and of itself an indication of spirits who are less evolved?
No, since there are errant spirits of every degree, incarnation is the state that is transitory, as we have already stated. In their normal state, spirits are disengaged from matter.
Question 226. Could we say that all spirits who are not incarnate are errant?
Those who must reincarnate, yes. But the pure spirits who have reached perfection are not errant. Their state is definitive.
Author's remarks. Regarding their innermost qualities, spirits belong to different orders or degrees, through which they pass successively as they purify themselves. Regarding their state as spirits, they may be incarnate, that is, connected to a body, errant, that is, disconnected from the material body, while awaiting a new incarnation in order to improve themselves, or pure, that is, perfected and having no further need of incarnation. Question 227. How do errant spirits learn, since it can hardly be in the same way as for us?
They study their past and seek ways to evolve. They watch and observe what is going on in the realms through which they pass. They listen to the discourse of enlightened individuals and the counsels of spirits who are more evolved than they are. And this provides them with ideas that they do not yet possess.
Question 228. Do spirits retain any of the human passions?
Upon losing their corporeal envelope, high-order spirits leave evil passions behind and retain only the ideals of the good. But low-order ones retain their passions. Otherwise, they would belong to the First Order.
Question 229. When they leave the earth behind, why don't spirits abandon their evil passions, since they are able to see the trouble they can cause?
In your world, there are persons who are excessively jealous, for instance. Do you believe they will lose that defect upon leaving? After they leave the earth, since they are not entirely freed from matter, especially those who have displayed strong passions, they retain a sort of atmosphere around them that is infused with all their evil qualities. They only occasionally glimpse the truth, so as to have the moral path revealed to them.
Question 230. Can a spirit progress while in the errant state?
It may improve itself a great deal. It always depends on its own will and desire. However, it puts newly acquired ideas into practice only during corporeal life.
Question 231. Are errant spirits happy or unhappy?
Their degree of happiness or unhappiness depends on what they have merited. They either suffer from the passions whose essence they have retained, or they are happy according to their degree of dematerialization. In the errant state, a spirit realizes what it lacks in order to be happier. Thus, it searches for the means to attain it. However, it is not always permitted to reincarnate when it wants to. This in itself is a punishment.
Question 232. While in the errant state, can spirits visit other worlds?
That depends. When the spirit leaves the body, it is still not completely disconnected from matter. Hence, it still belongs to the world on which it has lived, or to one of the same degree, unless it has progressed sufficiently during its lifetime. Progression is the purpose to which it must hold, for it will never perfect itself unless it progresses. Nevertheless, it may go to certain more highly evolved worlds, but as an outsider, it can get only glimpses of such worlds, and these glimpses are what drive it to improve itself so that it may become worthy of the happiness enjoyed on them and to be able to inhabit them later.
Question 233. Do spirits who are already purified ever go to less evolved worlds?
They frequently do so in order to help such worlds progress. Without these spirits, these worlds would be left to themselves, without guides to direct them.